climate change is here and being experienced, but what will it mean for everyday life? Let me explain with me, Ben Finnegan.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Climate change and global warming, they're not new concepts. The first model of climate change was created by a Swedish physicist way back in 1896. Don't worry, I got the calculator out. That was 128 years ago. Now, that's fairly understandable, as we'd already known about the Ice Age at that point. So that makes sense that climates change. But global warming as a current concept was first written in print in 1975. It was a paper called Climatic Change. Are we on the brink of a pronounced global warming? Next year, that study will be 50 years old, and the science of today suggests Wallace Smith Brooker wasn't wrong. So where are we at with climate change? Well, you may have heard of the Paris Accord, a global agreement to try and limit the effects of climate change. It was signed in 2015. What does it say? Well, the aim is to limit the rise in global temperatures to 1.5 degrees, which science say would limit the worst effects of climate change and global warming. It's measured off temperatures from the 1800s, before the Industrial Age, when humans started using fossil fuels like coal and then oil to power the world. In 2023, global temperatures were, drum roll please, 1.5 degrees above that level. So we're goosed. Well, not really. There's still some hope. It could be a once-off. Temperatures rise and fall below 1.5 degrees again because there's a lot of factors causing different changes. There's weather patterns every couple of years that make certain years warmer to others. To explain them would mean more podcasts. But the scientific fact is the planet's getting warmer. And what could that mean for Ireland? Well, here's Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather.
So there's a few different impacts, really. The sea level rise along with the rainfall brings about the flooding risk, which I think is probably our biggest short-term and medium-term impact that we need to try and adapt and mitigate the impacts of that flooding risk, because that is probably going to be, I suppose, the biggest high-impact change that we're likely to see from climate change.
We can come back to what Alan is talking about there in terms of mitigation effects, but essentially, Ireland is on course to get wetter and drier. That may seem contradictory. What it means is there'll be longer spells of drought, meaning no rain. But when the rain does come, it'll be in the form of heavier downpours, which will lead to flash flooding. There's also the concerns for what it means for the coast and how Ireland may look in the future with rising sea levels. The Icarus project, based at Maynooth University, has been looking at the potential impact higher sea levels around the coast of Ireland could have. Gerard McCarthy is an oceanographer with the group.
We know from observations that go back, you know, over 100 years now, sea level has been rising and has been rising around the Irish coast as well. We're very vulnerable in Ireland. In a lot of the cities in particular are very low-lying. Flooding events from the ocean in Cork and in Dublin and in Galway are relatively common.
When people hear about rising sea levels, you may think of water coming to your door, and in some extreme cases, there will be some coastal homes lost and uninhabitable. But in real terms, the impact of climate change will be felt through those heavy downpours. The wide belief is, the higher temperatures rise, the heavier the downpours would be, while also the drought conditions would also get longer. And Gerard McCarthy says they've already seen some impacts from those sea level rises.
In Galway, we chose the height that Don Eleanor, which was one of the most recent extreme flooding events that happened, we took that level and then we looked at how much higher that would have been if actually under a relatively moderate sea level rise scenario. And really, like, what you're looking at there is you're looking at, you know, an extra meter or so in the next 100 or so years. And that's really kind of a big change in terms of the levels that the sea would be reaching and the kind of impact that would have on near sea businesses and residential areas.
But what can we do? Well, remember when Alan O'Reilly mentioned mitigation measures? Well, here's some of the ideas that could be done to help prepare for future weather events.
Well, the first thing really is that we need to get the National Flood Forecast and Warning System up and running. That will give people information on the flood forecasting and provide warnings based on, you know, local rivers. So the areas that can be hit by flooding will need to be given ample time to prepare for events such as sandbags and things. At a very simple level, that's the first thing that needs to happen. But then really beyond that, you're looking at, you know, changes to use of land, to storing more water in floodlands. Areas like a lot of floodplains have been built on, a lot of land has been drained, a lot of, you know, ditches have been removed. There's a lot of different things that happen across the landscape that we can start to slowly reverse that will help deal with those type of rainfall events and flooding.
Well, this is what Gerard McCarthy said when I put the same question to him. What can we do to prepare?
Adapt to the climate change that we can't escape. So again, climate change is a real threat, but it is something that we can manage and we can address going forward. So we're talking about sensible management of coastal areas. There will be some areas that will be more affected than others. But with sensible management and addressing our greenhouse gas emissions, I think that we can manage the future in a changing climate.
So that's the effects and possible ways we can mitigate against the worst effects. But what can we do to try and stop them? Well, it's simple. Well, the idea is simple. Getting there is less simple. It's reduce emissions. The faster we can reduce emissions, get to what's called net zero, the more chance the atmosphere and the climate has to recover. And at this point, you usually get the hecklers.
What about China? Yeah, India too.
All right. Yeah, that's enough.
Don't forget about the US.
All right, you done? Yeah, they are the biggest emitters in the world. And yes, Ireland could reach net zero tomorrow, meaning we've no emissions, but we'd still have to deal with the effects of climate change because other countries aren't doing it. And subscribing to that is like living next to a pyromaniac who sets their house on fire four times a week and refuse to get your own fire extinguisher for your own home because you don't start the fires. Here's Alan O'Reilly again.
Well, we have to be realistic, and I think it's not about one or the other. We have to, you know, make our cuts in our emissions. We have to do our part in Ireland in terms of moving to renewable energies, you know, removing the amount of carbon that we're as a country producing. But even if we get to net zero, you know, in a very short period of time, the impacts of climate change are already there, and unfortunately other countries may not be able to get there as quick. So we're still going to continue to see the impacts of climate change. So very often when I mention, you know, adaptation and adapting to the climate, some people will say that we shouldn't be discussing that, we should just be talking about the cuts. But we have to be realistic. We've already seen the impacts of climate change. We're going to see more impacts of climate change.
Now, Ireland is by no means the golden child. We have our faults. Germany is the biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in the EU, but in 2023, Ireland was the largest emitters per capita in the European Union. Now, what can you do to cut emissions? Well, it's really what's practical to you. The simplest things could be, if you drive to work every day, is there any way you could leave the car at home one day a week, maybe get public transport one day a week instead? Or can you walk or cycle? They're somewhat easy solutions.
Yeah, well, I live 7 hours away from work, so I have to drive.
Oh, great. More hecklers. Yeah, obviously if you live 7 hours from work and you drive to work, maybe try something else, like look at the impact the food you might eat has on the environment. Like if you're eating 16 avocados a week, maybe consider just having 10. The majority of the effects of climate change are for politicians to stop, like the flood defences and getting to net zero. But it's also important to know the real risks a warming planet will have on you and on Ireland. And not just what we can avoid, but what we can expect. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. I've been Ben Finnegan. Thanks as well to this week's editor, John Kyo, and to Lachlan Hart on sound. Don't forget to subscribe to Let Me Explain wherever you get your podcasts.